Good morning and welcome to Overeats Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Susan and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Could we all press star one and mute, please? Thank you. Today is Wednesday, July 24th, 2024, and today we are reading from the Big Book, Continuing in More About Alcoholism, page 34, the second paragraph, starting with, for those who are unable to drink moderately, through to the end of the paragraph, no matter how great the necessity or the wish. Today's readers are Juanice N., who will read the text, Chanel T., A Vision for You, and Yvonne A. is our backup. Our newcomer greeter is Carla C., and Jody E. will share announcements. The reference numbers for Tuesday, July 23rd, 10 a.m. Eastern, is 21,594. And for Wednesday, July 24th, the 7 a.m. Eastern meeting is 21,600. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Kathy B. in Oklahoma to please unmute and read the 12 steps of OA for us. Thank you, Kathy.
Good morning. My name is Kathy B. I live in Oklahoma, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. These are the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service this morning. I pass.
Thank you, Kathy. Next, we will go to Naples, Florida. Good morning, Deborah L.T., who will now read the 12 traditions of OA for us. Thank you, Deborah.
Good morning. This is Deborah L.T., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from beautiful Naples, Florida. Here are the 12 traditions of OA. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse a name to any related facility or outside enterprise lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve today, and I pass.
Thank you, Deborah. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Thank you. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are in the chapter More About Alcoholism, page 34, the second paragraph, which starts with, for those who are unable to drink moderately, through to no matter how great the necessity or the wish. And I will now invite Juanice N. to join us and please begin reading and sharing her experience on this paragraph. Thank you, Juanice.
Thank you, Susan. Good morning, everyone. My name is Juanice N. I am so grateful to be here this morning, a recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. For those who are unable to drink moderately, the question is how to stop altogether. We are assuming, of course, that the reader wants to stop, desires to stop. Whether such a person can quit upon a non-spiritual basis depends upon the extent to which he has already lost the power to choose whether he will drink or not. Many of us felt that we had plenty of character. There was a tremendous urge to cease forever, yet we found it impossible. This is the baffling feature of alcoholism as we know it. This utter inability to leave it alone, no matter how great the necessity or the wish. Yeah, that is the baffling part. For those who are unable to drink moderately, well, I tried so hard for so long to just diet and just follow the plan, just go to the weigh and pay thing and anything and everything else that was out there, the liquid diets, the everything, and I just simply could not eat moderately, and I tried everything. And where it says here, though, that this is the baffling feature of compulsive overeating, for me, it's such an understatement. I mean, I was so confused and just confused, defeated, baffled, yes, just like, what is wrong with me? I want this with everything. I had a need to do this. My knees were aching. My back was hurting. I couldn't hardly breathe just walking from my front door out to the gate. I mean, you know, I was just so miserable. That was the physical side. The spiritual side for my necessity was I was just spiritually dead. I was so mean and irritated and agitated and aggravated all the time. I had zero patience, zero tolerance. Just didn't care about anybody else but myself, you know, and that led to so much depression. I realized that a lot of my depression was just me thinking about me all the time. I had no ability to think about anybody else but myself. And all of that came out of, you know, who I am normally, but also because of what I was doing to myself with food that made me so miserable. And even though I tried with all of my might to stop, all of my might, all of my thinking, all of my praying, all of my memorizing certain passages out of certain books, all of my reading every self-help book, Release from Shame, and Brene Brown and everybody else, and I just had completely lost the ability to eat moderately, and I was completely baffled. Completely baffled. What do you do when you've tried everything you know and nothing works? What do you do? Thank God for this program and this process. Whew, that showed me exactly what to do. Without question, without fail, showed me exactly what to do to get out of that miserable black hole that I was in. Life wasn't even worth living anymore. And I couldn't figure out how you get to life ain't worth living no more, but you can't stop. Man, and I couldn't. Oh, I know. I'm always over. Okay, thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Juanice, and in Southern California. If you came in while Juanice was sharing, we are on page 34 this morning. We're discussing the second paragraph in More About Alcoholism on page 34. For those who are unable to drink moderately through to no matter how great the necessity or the wish. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day. So if you shared in New York yesterday, or some of you are in New York, if you shared on the earlier meeting yesterday, you can't share here today, and vice versa, in order that others might share their experiences too. So what I would love from you are your first names, your last initials, or your state or your country where you are calling from. And this is just a great paragraph. I can't wait to hear everybody's experience.
My name is Larry. She's from California.
Okay, hold on 1 second. I think, did I hear Larry?
Yes, you did, Susan.
Thank you, Larry. Got Larry G.
Pearl R.
Thank you, Pearl.
Donna B.
In Colorado, yep, got you.
Yes, thank you.
And
Joanne B.
Vermont.
Vermont, thank you.
Anne B, New York.
Thank you, Anne. Anyone else for this first round? All right, we will pause there. So here's who I have. I've got Larry G., Pearl R., Donna B., Joanne B., and Anne B. So if everybody other than Larry could mute their line, star one, and when I call you, star one again to unmute. Larry, please take it away.
Thank you, Susan. My name is Larry G. from the great state of California, and I am recovered today. Oh, my God, Juanice. Mother of God, I felt I was at an AA revival meeting. And if you don't know what that means, if you've never been to an AA revival meeting, you got to go because you hear people who have hit bottom like you've never heard before, work the steps, get a sponsor, are now living an extraordinary life. And what does extraordinary mean? It means living beyond the ordinary. And I am living beyond the ordinary. I was in a community. Now, I'm not putting this down, okay? I'm not putting down any other fellowship. We are Vision for You is a great fellowship. There's other fellowships out there that are also great. This fellowship works for me because it does not encourage me to eat moderately. I came to this program in 2020 with a vision sponsor. I came to the first meeting with a homework assignment of what is my inventory of my foods. I came to that meeting with yellow light foods, and she laughed her ass off because one of my yellow light foods was I could eat a cheesecake once a year on my birthday. I see that now as how insane thinking that is. A recovered alcoholic is not going to come to his beverage sponsor and say, you know what, I can drink a light Coors on a hot summer day. That person would get hauled out of that meeting and be 12-step by eight men. If I said that. So why am I coming to this program thinking that I can eat moderately with a history of eating in excess to the fact I destroyed myself and didn't want to live on May 18, 2020? Juanita, thank you for kicking us off. If you have any kind of suspicion, if you're new, you can't see people on this phone, listen to their voices. Listen to people who have conviction and passion, who are dead, who are now living. My name's Larry G, and I'm out.
Thank you, Larry G in California, so much. Next, we go to Arizona. Pearl, please unmute and join us. Thank you.
Hi, this is Pearl R. from Arizona. That reading definitely hits home for me. It's absolutely insanity to think that I'm going to control this or stop this disease. Some people have a problem with alcohol. Some people have a problem with gambling. And I absolutely enslaved to it, just like, you know, at the very beginning, Eve was weakened to the food. Well, that is no different for me. I, you know, ate literally, you know, 4 feet tall, weighing 400 pounds. At one point in my life, that is testimony to the fact that I'm never going to have the power. I cannot be trusted. I don't have the strength or the abilities whatsoever. I am completely incompetent to be able to deal with my food. That's why I have to text my sponsor every single day, or a friend or an accountability partner. I have to be accountable to somebody else to trust that, hey, I give this to them and I'm trusting God, the creator, who created this body, who created the food for the body, to guide me as to what to do, because I obviously have failed miserably, and I obviously am like a two-year-old in a candy store that can't keep their hands off the shelf. I've thought, oh, I can just do this my way. I can figure this out. I can, you know, maybe if I do a little here. No. It all has failed miserably. The only thing that has worked is coming to the meetings, doing the 12 steps, doing what the big book says. Now that has actually worked in my life. I can see results. I can be at peace today with the food. I can relax. I can have hope and inspiration that I'm going to survive another day and actually live a life one of these days. Where I'm not just constantly obedient and my whole life revolves around this food. Didn't matter, nothing else mattered, but this food was everything. It consumed me. And today I don't have to be that way anymore. There's a way out, and it's called the 12-step program. And if I do what I'm asked to do in faith and just trust in God, trust in my creator, things will work out. But if I decide, I've got this, things do not work out. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Pearl R. in Arizona. Next, we have Donna B. in Colorado. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning. This is Donna B. It's spelled D-A-N-A. I'm in Colorado. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, binge purge bulimic, and exercise bulimic. I have a definition written here for baffling, which says impossible to understand and perplexing. I think that definition definitely captures for me my experience with compulsive overeating. No matter how much I wanted to stop, and no matter how many methods I tried to stop, it was just impossible to understand and perplexing as to why I could succeed in so many areas of my life, but in the food, I just kept going back. I think this is also another interesting part of the paragraph, which is that we have to want to stop. There was a tremendous urge to cease forever. And I think that when I work with others, it's very important to ask at the beginning and to ask really throughout the process, are you willing to do whatever it takes to stop? And what I have found over the years is that people definitely say, yes, I'll do whatever it takes to stop compulsive overeating. But what I've learned is that the life that surrounds the eating, if I don't address that which makes me think that eating will be a step up, I'm going to keep going back to the food. So it isn't just a desire to stop eating compulsively. There also has to be, for me, a sincere desire to stop the chaos and the insanity that precedes that first bite. And that's where I find so much resistance in working with others. And probably there are sponsors who would say that's where they see the resistance with me as well. So the steps give me a way of living. It works. It really does. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Donna B. in Colorado. Next, we'll go to Vermont. Good morning, Joanne B. Welcome to the line.
Good morning, Susan. Good morning, fellows on the line. This is Joanne B. from Vermont. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Yeah, I love this paragraph. I think all of us can really relate to this. The perplexing, you know, it says here the utter inability to leave it alone, no matter how great the necessity or the wish. You know, that was my story. You know, it's like I wanted to stop. I tried to stop. I tried everything, different diets, and I was able to stop for quite a long time and lose the weight. But, you know, life would get messy, and I'd find myself dipping in, you know, to the food. And each time I felt like I did a diet and I was successful, and then I started to eat again, each time it would get harder, and my compulsion and obsession would get it was progressive. And I was able to recognize finally that I didn't have the ability to stop on my own. I just didn't. And, you know, I finally had to come and I had to accept that I was a compulsive overeater, that this is a disease, that no amount of, you know, goals or good wishes or anything like that, any kind of diet is going to stop me. The only thing that was able to help me is Overeaters Anonymous, getting a sponsor, going through the 12 steps, sponsoring others, you know, doing my best every day to follow what's written in this book. And I've accepted that. But sometimes it's still hard. Like, I've been on vacation a few times this summer. I'm a teacher, so I'm off this summer. And the temptations are, you know, plentiful. And I have to really work hard to stay on the beam and follow my program. So I don't think it's not a choice anymore. You know, I'm not a normal eater. I can't just make choices like other people do. And I can't just like decide not to eat something or just eat a little bit of something. I don't have that ability to choose anymore. And I need a higher power, and I've been able to build a relationship with God.
Thank you, Joanne.
It's really helping. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Joanne B. in Vermont. Next, we're going over to New York to Anne B. Good morning, Anne.
Hello, this is Anne B. From Westchester United Intergroup in New York, compulsive overeater. Don't like the word recovered, but I have been abstinent for 19 years. And this is reminding me of the day on October 14th, 2004, when I was struck abstinent in a dramatic spiritual experience. I had been told about 8 years before that by a member of my religious group about OA, and I had a 12-stepping experience from a classmate in college who was in AA during the past year, about 6 weeks before my ex had moved out, and I'd also gone to a yoga retreat where I'd become more spiritual. And I was standing there in my kitchen. I had just gotten off the scale, and I weighed 190 pounds. And I hadn't weighed that much since I was pregnant, which I was no longer pregnant. And I stood between my sink and my refrigerator, and I looked up and I said, God, I have got to start treating these foods that I'm addicted to with the same horror that I would treat heroin or cocaine, substances that I would never put in, have never put in, would never put in my body because I know they're so dangerous. And I felt this energy just rush through my body from head to toe. And I got a dim vision of myself eating out of victimhood and self-pity, and then of the many mothers throughout the world who are watching their children starve to death. And I think I saw myself the way God sees me, as, you know, I don't really have serious problems. I'm just living in victimhood and self-pity. And God really cares whether I eat more than my right share of food in the world. And I haven't truly eaten compulsively since then. And I had some restaurant meals that were a little too big, but basically I've stayed away from compulsive eating. And I started going to OA, and I worked the steps, and I became abstinent. And through the years, you know, my marriage failed, my career failed, my mother died. I got cancer twice, you know, in recurrence, and through chemo twice. I've had to increasingly accept that my special needs children are never really going to be fully normal functioning adults, which has been very hard for me. But I've had multiple spiritual experiences during that time remind me that God wants me here, that God wants me to participate in OA, that God wants me to be abstinent, and that God wants me to work with others and do service because, and I don't know why this is important to God, but I've just, because it wasn't
That's
necessarily
time,
my man. Priority. Okay. I just finish up and say, but I'm still here because of multiple dramatic spiritual experiences, and I will pass.
Thank you, Andy, in New York. Before we continue on with our next round of names, if you weren't here right at the beginning of the meeting, a little lost of what we're discussing this morning, page 34 in the big book, the second full paragraph, for those who are unable to, paragraph ends with, no matter how great the necessity or the wish. So if today is your third day and you're able to participate and share on this paragraph, please unmute, give me your first name, last initial, and state or country where you are calling from this morning.
Christine B., California.
Thank you, Christine. Star one to unmute. We would like to join Christine.
Diana Y. from Philadelphia.
Diana. Thank you. Was there someone else before Diana? I thought I heard a voice.
Bonnie from Arizona.
Thank you, Bonnie. Anyone else like to join this lineup? Okay, well, if you're shy, we will have time afterwards. So who I have is Christine B., Diana Y., and Bonnie. And if everyone could mute their line other than Christine. Go ahead, Christine B., thank you.
Hi, Christine B., compulsive overeater from Oxnard, California. And just confirming, my brain stopped saying kids probably. We're on the paragraph that starts for those of us, or for those who are unable to drink water, the question is how to stop altogether. Is that correct?
Yes. No matter how great the necessity or the wish, the second paragraph, yeah, for those who are unable to drink moderately. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. I never know quite what I want to share, but I know, like, right when I read this the first time I read it, the part that I picked on here was, had plenty of character. Thanks to the grace of this program, the threefold nature of our disease recovering aspect of it, I have character where I had none before. And I am eternally grateful. I've only been in program for a little over 6 months now, but I can't picture living my life any other way. I think when I wanted to share this morning, I was hoping I'd have something a little more cohesive, but I was trying to think of some newcomers. What would I hope that they take away? Definitely don't leave before the miracle occurs. That's one. And the other one, and I know I have seen, I also go to in-person meetings, and I see sometimes there's resistance to, you know, basically picking on this program so it allows you to show up for life differently. And like the idea of having to surrender alcoholic food. For me, the awareness came within about a week. I knew how I was operating was basically an insidious road to a quick fix. So that wasn't too big of an issue. And I remember talking to one person, and they're like, don't you miss it? And I'm like, I've already had it. I feel like I've eaten every possible thing under the sun. I get what it is. And I think I missed it. I would miss this program if I didn't have that. So I think I just switched my wants. And I don't know if any of that made sense. So I think I'm going to end it there. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Christine B. in Oxnard, California. And if you could mute your line again, thank you. Next, we have Diana Y. in Philadelphia. Thank you, Diana.
Hi, good morning. I'm Diana, and I am a sugar addict. been in program a very long time. And when I went to my very first meeting, it was because I realized that I did not have one more diet in me. Every time I would diet, I would gain the weight back. So why bother? But I was absolutely miserable. I went to my first meeting, and I saw people laughing and smiling and conversing. And, you know, I said to myself, this is a very serious matter. Why are they happy? Well, today I understand. It's because this program brings happiness and hope and optimism. I was desperate. And my two favorite words in the program are desperate and hopeless, because people don't come into this program just to check it out. There has to be something going on in their lives that is completely unacceptable to them. And I had no idea why I couldn't, I could lose the weight, but I couldn't keep it off. And after many, many years in the program, pretty much floundering and trying to do it my way, I finally had the willingness to get a higher power. And that's after many, many years of trying to do it myself. It's a we program, not an I program. And I got a sponsor. She was absolutely wonderful. And she started me on this amazing path of miracles that I've experienced. How is it possible for a sugar addict, for all those years of living, that to have a spiritual experience one night and have the obsession and craving for sugar be lifted? And I haven't had ice cream or donuts or any of those kinds of things for over nine years now. And it's all due to the program. And you
That's
do
time,
have
time, Diana.
Thank you. You do have to take action in the program, but the rewards are unbelievable. Thanks for letting me share.
Yes, they are. Thank you, Diana Y. in Philadelphia. Next, we have Bonnie in Arizona. And Bonnie, if you could kindly share your last initial with us. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Bonnie J.M. From Arizona. I've been in the program since the early 80s. I came into the program because of a client of mine that wanted to be in OA, and I had the opinion, they just pray for God and all their weight falls off. That's crazy. And I was not overweight at the time, but I was a compulsive dieter. And I didn't even, I actually liked dieting and had come to the conclusion that if I liked the beginning until I got bored with it, but there are so many of them, so I could pop from one to the other. But once I came in and went to the first meeting, I didn't understand it. I saw all the writings on the board. I saw the recovery. I came back. I don't know why I came back, and I've never left. And I went through several sponsors because I was a challenger. And in the process of doing all the challenging and doing what I wanted to do because I thought I was the authority, I gained, and I actually gained a lot of weight. And then one of the sponsors nailed me, and she says, Bonnie, you're never going to get this because you're a challenger, and all a challenger does is challenge. And for some reason, that stuck. I also didn't know what spirituality really meant. And as a compulsive overeater, I could be compulsive about any food. I mean, it wouldn't matter whether it was sugar or I remember those big boxes that one of the companies had that you felt filled with vegetables. And I had one of those. I could eat those. It didn't matter. But somewhere in this process, everything clicked in one step at a time. And when I first picked up the phone today, I thought, what helps me the most? It's weighing and measuring. And that does help me. But, you know, today I get up in the morning. I've already done my writing. I've already done my praying. I'm on this meeting, and when I'm through with this meeting, I'll do my exercise, I'll call the newcomers, and I'll do my phone calls, and I'll be on GroupMe, and it definitely has been a process. And I was in a recovery program one time where it was stressed into me, Bonnie, trust the process.
And so I will say that to anybody, because I'm a 100-pound loser, and I've been in since the 80s, and I'm 84, and I will be here.
At the time, Bonnie.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bonnie J.M. in Arizona. Okay, we have time for two, maybe three people, no promises. Who would like to share with us on this paragraph this morning?
Sherry S.
Thank you, Sherry. Got you. Who would like to join Sherry? Very quiet group today. Okay, so it's not
Jeff
to waste
A.
time. Oh, Jeff A. Thank you. Thank you, Jeff. Anyone else before we go to Sherry? All right, we'll pause there. And Sherry and Jeff, when you share, if you can let us know where you're calling from. So, Sherry, take it away. Thank you so much.
Hi, this is Sherry F. in Idaho. Just want to say I'm a recovering sugar addict for sure. I just was so excited to get on the meeting because I had had a really tough couple of days and just really was doubting a lot of things. I have been for almost 6 months now and feeling so great emotionally. But I really had the last 2 days just really a really couple of down days. And I woke up today and I thought, oh, my gosh, it's gone, number one. And secondly, I made it through 2 days without overeating. And I really was doubting my abstinence the last couple of days. And I did the steps begrudgingly. I did my spiritual program. I did an outreach call, all begrudgingly. I just thought, this is ridiculous, but I'm just going to do it. And when I realized that this morning, it was just such a confirmation to me that this program 100% works. I have learned how to sit through negative feelings, uncomfortable emotional days that are not pleasant. I'm learning how to do that. And I'm learning how to like myself. And I'm just learning to enjoy life better and not be obsessed about weight and food. I was an exercise bulimic for many years, constantly concerned about the numbers, and that has been taken away from me. I'm off the yo-yo and, the yo-yo cycle of dieting and exercise, and I've learned how to have better relationships with people and better relationships with myself and a better relationship with me and with God. Anyways, thank you for this program. I love this meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry S. in Idaho. Next, Jeff A., please unmute. Join us and let us also know where you're calling from. Thank you, Jeff.
Jeff A. in California. Many of us felt like we had plenty of character. That's me. And yet I couldn't stop with, I have two addictions, and I now have food neutrality. But it's got to be every day. And I have very stormy emotions. You can't see it because it's all inside. But I get angry pretty quick, and then I stew. And by doing the program, I do the spot check inventory. Last night, yesterday, twice. I'll be doing it today a few times probably. And then I got to call somebody. And I've got to look at the actual emotions. staying at the anger area is so easy and so enjoyable in a way, even though I'm angry. The fact is, though, a lot of times I'm scared and I don't want to feel scared. So I end up going to anger. But it's the fear and the scare and the sadness. I have a lot of sadness in my life and I just don't want to deal with it. So I am now trying to deal with it in the program way and some other ways to help me be more human and less doing, doing, doing. So it's been quite the journey and I'm in step 9 now. And my worst 4 amends that I never wanted to do, I'm starting to think maybe I can do one of them. And I started writing some things down and gave to my sponsor this morning. And I'm feeling hopeful that maybe I can do this. So, okay, thank you.
Thank you so much, Jeff A. in California. Okay, last chance. Who wants the last share this morning? First name I hear.
Teresa P.
Teresa, go for it. Thank you.
Oh,
tell us
hi,
where you're calling from.
Thank you. Oh, okay. Hi, I'm Teresa P. from California, and I'm so grateful to be a member of Overeaters Anonymous, and so grateful for the Vision for You meetings that have helped me work the steps and is getting me through such challenging times in my life now. It's always hard. The challenging times are hard. When they keep on going and going on, you're like, where is the end to this? Well, sometimes there's not an end. I just get, this is what I get to learn to live with. And it's hard. Well, old age is one of them. but my husband has had several bad eye surgeries. He's had about 5 of them, and different ones, corrections of the problems, but nothing really gets corrected. And then it's just like what I call a medical merry-go-round. It just keeps going around and around. And it makes me crazy. I'm sick myself from all this with gastritis and but it doesn't matter, just the stuff. But I get to be abstinent, and I'm happily eating my 5 little foods, so zucchini, eggs, yams, sweet potatoes, and green bananas. That's my gastritis diet. Oops, I've been doing that for 2 years. And happily doing it for 2 years, I enjoy the food, and that's wonderful. It's because what I get to do is, it goes back to food is not my problem. Food's my solution. My problem is, you know, restless, irritable, and discontent about everything, even happy. And so what I get to do is just look at what's the emotion going on. And by working the steps 10, 11, and 12, I'm finding out so much more about myself and where I need to speak up and tell my truth. And I need to take action and quit blaming other people for doing what they do. You know, people do what they do, and I'm powerless over that. Well, I want to control it.
That's time.
That's not my job.
Sorry.
And
thanks,
thank
Teresa.
You for letting me share, and I pass.
Thanks. Cut you short. All right. Fabulous meeting. Thank you, Team Wednesday, Wani, Chanel, Yvonne, Kathy B., Deborah L., Carla and Jody, who will carry you through on the back end of the meeting. Please stay on, especially if you need a sponsor. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Chanel T., please, will you join us and read A Vision for You? Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. This is Chanel T. I'm a grateful compulsive eater living in the grace of recovery today. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.